It's been a wonderful blessing to be in this meeting. You know, the Lord revives us in this old dark world as we travel along on our pilgrimage with meetings like this, and the gospel cheers our hearts because it's the message of Jesus Christ. It's the message of our God who loved us and gave Jesus to die in our room instead. The message of Jesus Christ is a holy message. There's no message in all the world like the message of Christ. In Psalm 89, it says, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound." Now, we know the joyful sound. There's people that hear the joyful sound, but they don't know the joyful sound. The joyful sound is a sound of victory and triumph. I like the word victory. I like the word triumph because it means that we will overcome through Jesus Christ. And He is the overcomer. He overcame everything that came against Him. And so by His work and His grace, He overcame. In fact, He spoke to His disciples before He left this world. He says, "These words I speak unto you, that in Me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." The peace that we have from the words of Jesus Christ, from the Scriptures, is a perfect peace. Somebody says, "Is there a perfect peace in this world?" Well, not in the world, but it's in our hearts. Amen. Trusting in Jesus Christ brings perfect peace. And I hope the Lord will bless me to speak to you just a little while. Brother Danny said, "May the Lord lead you and guide you." I said, "Well, right now it seems like He's leading me to preach a sermonette." But anyway... Brother Philip, he changed my mind. Of course, the Lord stirred me up. I was going to try to speak on something else if I was called on, but that's been wiped away. Philip changed my mind, and that happens. Sometimes we plan to do something and preach something, and a preacher preaches something, and it just wipes it all away. Philip, it's your fault. But I want to speak to you a little while on the role of the Holy Spirit, or the function of the Holy Spirit in giving eternal life. In giving eternal life. And I want to begin in the Gospel according to John, chapter 17. When the Lord Jesus Christ lifted up His eyes to heaven. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ looked to heaven, looked to His Father. He says, "Everything that I do, my Father is pleased with me." So He lifts up His eyes to heaven and He says, "Father, the hour's come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may also glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him." Now that's very clear. That's very plain. You would have to have a lot of help to misunderstand what Jesus said here. Nothing is ambiguous in these words. He has power over all flesh. That is, He has authority over all flesh. That is, over all human beings. There is no governor. There is no king. There is no dictator. There is no prince. There is none outside the authority of Jesus Christ as Him being the authority over this universe. He says here that Thou hast given him power over all flesh, or authority over all flesh, that he should give, not offer, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, how many will he give eternal life to? Well, he tells us, to as many as thou hast given him. Eternal life is the gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Spirit of God, in his role or his function of giving eternal life, is the sovereign work of God upon the people that he has chosen, the heirs of promise, that he will give eternal life upon whom he will, when he will, without their will. It is not according to the will of man who receives eternal life, but he gives eternal life to whom he will. In the 5th chapter of the Gospel according to John, it says, "As the Father raiseth the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." Not who will let him. Not who will cooperate with him. "As the Father raiseth the dead." Who has the power to raise the dead? "As the Father raiseth the dead, even so the Son quickeneth." The word "quickeneth" means to impart life. "Even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." The reason that the Spirit of God must quicken a person is because all the children of promise are dead in trespasses and in sins. You know, there's a TV program, I don't watch it, but it's called The Walking Dead. And I don't plan to watch it. I don't want to watch it. I see enough of those people out here in the world. You know, you don't need to watch something like that. They're all out here in the world. See it all the time. The Walking Dead. It's because, you know, they have natural life. They have natural life, but they're void of spiritual life. But God has determined, and he will purpose in his will to give unto his heirs of promise, which all of us were among the walking dead, he will give eternal life when he will. Nothing shall hinder that work, because it is the sovereign work of God. He quickeneth whom he will. The Lord Jesus Christ again in the 5th chapter says, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead." Who is it? Not the dead in the cemetery, but the dead in sin. All right, he says, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." They will hear the voice of the Son of God. They will respond to the voice of the Son of God. The spirit that is quickened will be raised out of death and become God conscious. God places his spirit in the heart. It is the Spirit of Christ, and we become conscious of God. That is, God imparts knowledge by his Spirit in our hearts. That's how we come to know God in our hearts. And there is nothing that can hinder that. The devil can't hinder it. God doesn't use men to impart eternal life. He doesn't use angels. He doesn't use Sunday school teachers. He doesn't use preachers. He does it himself, by himself, upon his people. And they are raised up. Now, when we become God conscious, we know God in our hearts. God has implanted his Spirit in our hearts. You can celebrate about that, Brother Danny. I mean, it gives us the ability to do everything in the spiritual realm that we do. Because a natural man can do nothing in the spiritual realm. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Now, there's a lot of terms in the Bible that describe the passing of a person that is dead in sin into life eternal. It is called a resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the 6th chapter of the Gospel according to John, in verse 37, he says there, "All the Father giveth me shall come to me." This is coming to life here. This is not the sinner acting in order to get life, because a sinner can't act to get spiritual life. Remember, he's dead. He's a walking dead. So it says here, Jesus says, "All that the Father giveth me." How many? "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing." That's preservation right there. Preservation. That is, the Holy Spirit will keep those that he has raised into life living. Amen. We live in Jesus Christ. In the 2nd chapter of the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he says there, "And you hath he quickened who were dead." Now, they were once dead. The church in their human depravity were once dead. "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." This holy calling is from heaven. It's the voice of the Son of God, the same voice that created the universe. God created this universe. He created out of nothing. I heard a preacher preach one time. He's a black preacher. He said, "Where did God come from?" Well, God didn't come from nowhere, because there was nowhere to come from. He said, "What did God stand on?" God stood on nothing, because there was nowhere to stand. This sovereign God spoke this universe into existence out of nothing. That is, it was nothing. It was just God. But he spoke this universe into existence, and in the wisdom of God, he made all things, and he created it by his mighty power. That same power has worked in us and raised us up and given us a divine nature. That divine nature God gave us so that we might praise him and honor him. And we're blessed to do that by our divine nature, by the Spirit of God. You know, there's a lot of functions of the Spirit of God and his ministries here in this world. Now I want to just move along about the leadership of the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That is, they're already sons of God by regeneration or the new birth, but they're led by the Spirit of God. We want to follow the leadership of the Spirit of God. We want to follow his direction in our life. The Holy Spirit, without him, we can't do the things that we should do without his help. We got to have his help. I wouldn't be here today without his help. One of the greatest blessings we have as we travel here in this world on our pilgrimage is communication with our Father, with our God. And that's in prayer. You know, sometime in our life, you know, our words are vehicles to communicate of our thoughts, of our feelings, of our will. In our life sometime, we don't have the words. We don't have the words to communicate by word. by our voice. But in the book of Romans, we find where that the Holy Spirit helpeth our infirmities. He does. I've experienced that all through life. He helps our infirmities. He's our helper. He's real. He's not an it. He is a he. He is a he. It is God. He's God. He helps our infirmities. Romans chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Sometime in our life, we have a 2-ton burden, but we have a 1-ton truck, and that 1-ton truck can't carry a 2-ton load. So we had to have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, we know not what to pray for as we ought. So he carries that load. And he carries it by his intercession to Almighty God through Jesus Christ with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever, in your experience, experienced groanings that cannot be uttered, and problems and difficulties of life? You can just put anything in that you want to. Problems of life, difficulties, tribulations. But he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions according to the will of God. You know, when we pray, and we need to pray, if we don't pray, we're going to faint. That's just the way it is. You know, the Lord Jesus taught that. He says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And he gives that parable. Men ought always to pray. Prayer is our communication to God. And our God bows down his holy ear and hears us. He knows our needs before we ask, but he delights to hear the prayers of his people. Prayer is essential and important and vital every day in our life. When we wake up every morning, that should be the first thing, to give God thanks that he is good to us and that he's blessed us to wake up and then get up. Sometime when I wake up, I say, oh, Lord, it's morning. And then sometime I say, good morning, Lord. You know, that I'm thankful that I've been blessed through the night. I'm thankful that God is so good, because in him we live, move, and have our being. He giveth to us life, breath, and all things. Prayer is essential in our life. Every day, we do not know what a day may bring forth. We do not have foresight or foreknowledge. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what this day may bring forth. But I have a sovereign God that loves me and loves you, and he'll take care of us. He knows what we need before we ask. And God, who is able to take care and to dispense his blessings upon us, he delights to give unto us gifts from heaven. If you ask God, and he teaches his disciples, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh receiveth, to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And as we approach the throne of grace in our lives as an individual, I just like to talk to God. You know, it's a relief and a comfort just to talk to God. We don't know what maybe the outcome what he and how he may answer, but it'll be all right because God is good. May God bless you with these thoughts.